What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the Other Side of the Firewall podcast, where we talk about the latest and greatest in cybersecurity news, as well as we highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, those people of color made to the other side of the proverbial firewall. My name is Ryan Williams, and as always, I'm joined by Shan Chimes.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on? We have Daniel Acevedo.
That's nice. That's good.
What's going on? So definitely continue to tune in throughout the week. So Monday, Tuesday, our topics, Wednesday, discussion. I think all of the above are really great this week. They're always great, right? But I think they're all impactful this week. And then Thursday will be Ask the CISSP. It'll be with Chelsea Pierre. That one was delayed from last week, so it'll go this week. And then Friday, everything else. So movies, books, games, all that good stuff. But without further ado, I'll give it to Shannon.
All right, everybody. This article comes from CSOonline.com, written by John Layden, and is titled "Authentication Failure Blamed for Change Healthcare Ransomware Attack." So for us who have been in this for a little while, right, guys, like we see this and we're like, why is this still a thing where MFA is not being used? Like, this is like the basic of the basic now. And for somebody who is in control of such important information, why was this just not something that they were thinking about? Like, this should have been baked in right from the beginning. And this is where it comes down to where ease of use and cybersecurity, they kind of divest, right? Because yeah, we know it's a little troublesome, like to where you have to use multi-factor authentication. You got to have more than one way to be able to get into things. It's not convenient, but this is why, because it costs you billions. Like, something so simple that should be so common nowadays, like, this should be the start. Like, MFA everywhere. I don't think I have access to anything that does not offer MFA, to be honest with you, if I'm being real with you, because it is just that simple of a concept in this day and age. You know what I mean? Especially with us doing everything electronic, we're doing everything digitally online. It's just a must have. But apparently, they didn't think it was something they needed to do. And again, it cost them billions. So Change Healthcare, we talked about how they're coming out of pocket all this money. It's been brought up about them actually paying the ransom, which was not divulged until recently. So they actually did pay some money, but it didn't help them, because then they got hit again. Like, okay, yeah, you paid us some money, but now we this other group are going to come out here and be like, yeah, break us off too. You know what I'm saying? That's the way they see it. Break us off too, because we see that you guys are out here throwing ducats around. This is what we want. But yeah, this is, I don't understand how we're still at this point in this day and age, right? And especially for a huge $1 billion company like this. Like, this should have been, like, whoever their top CIO, CTO, whoever it may be, like, they need to be fired. Like, this is something that should have went up and gone up long ago. And I say this with, I know the people in the C-suite don't have their hands on the keyboards, especially for a company this large, but this is something that you should have been overseeing, that just is so, so basic. And they didn't do that. They didn't do the easy part. You know what I mean? So if they're not doing the easy stuff, like, what else are you not protecting properly? You know what I mean? Like, what else is out there that's just being left out there and that you'll actually be honest about after this? Because if something else comes up soon after this, like, how quick are they to divulge that information? Like, they're not going to do it again and be like, yeah, we did it again. We boned you again. You know what I mean? Like, it's not happening. You know what I mean? But Daniel, what's your thoughts on this?
No, man, like, whew, this is like episode 5 of this TV series, man. It is rough. Heads are going to be rolling from the top down. You know, initially I was going to kind of like slam this article, and now that I read it again and we're talking about it, it's actually really good. You know, like you said, I think maybe, you know, I'll be on United Healthcare's side for one second. Maybe they thought they had 2-factor on user accounts to log in and that was enough. But that just goes to show, hey, applications didn't have 2-factor authentication. What else aren't they doing then, right? That's kind of low level. So that means, what's your cybersecurity, information security, IT, like, posture? What does that look like? Your infrastructure? Who do you have doing these things? Maybe they were understaffed, stretched in. You had one person doing multiple hats, doing lots of things. Things like this will slip through the crack. You know, they were maintaining persistence within the network for 9 days. Obviously, this isn't me trying to hack the system. These guys are very sophisticated. This is a very large cyber criminal organization that knows what they're doing. So it's kind of like what you're saying. It's kind of shocking that an organization of this size would not have a more robust team that and architecture, like zero day or different things in place where lateral persistence would not be a factor. So I keep going back to zero trust, because I think that Zero Trust would have helped out a lot in this situation where you segregate data communication and availability in an organization this large. Could have saved a lot here, but they didn't. They got to a lot of critical data. They ransomed it. And, you know, now, you know, the first team came out, give me the money. It reminds me of the Stewie meme where it's like, where's our money? And he's just punching Brian. They got that. And Coffee's like, where's my money? Like, I'm here for round two. So this is just like, man, it's unpacking in a very ugly way. At the end of the article, they say, I forget who it is going to go in front of the legislation on May 1st, which is almost, we're ending, you know, 27 days after. So new news is going to come out after that. We're going to see what's going to happen to that individual. United change healthcare as a whole organization. And obviously they're going to have a really big restructuring. I'm really curious, and I hope they release like what third-party teams came out to do kind of like the assessment, the cleanup, and what lessons learned if they ever divest that information of kind of what the attack actually was, how they got in, what did they compromise, and how they maintain persistence. Because this lesson needs to be shared within the healthcare community because it's becoming a huge target every year, like more and more as we go forward. I don't think it's going to finish anytime soon. So those are my thoughts, Ryan. What do you think?
No, I think all those are valid. So please like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Subscribe to the newsletter. We're over 1,100 now subscribers with a really good read rate, like over half, which is crazy to me. I'm like, this is the way to go. So if you're out there and you're deciding if you want to build a newsletter or not, it's a great way to repurpose your content. So that tip is free. Please join my masterclass. No, just playing. Oh, my masterclass. Not yet. But yeah, all the things, tune in, the other side of the firewall, the other side of the FW, ask the CISSP, please like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. But yeah, it's, I'm trying to not use this for too much material. Like I keep saying, like, we're going to get off of United Healthcare's back. We're going to move on to something else. And it was almost Kaiser Permanente today for the, instead of this episode. However, that is still unfolding, and I don't want to have a 5-episode series of that one as well, like just going from one to the other. I kind of want to ride this one to its eventual conclusion, which will be this this testimony, which will pull the curtain back, hopefully, to a lot of what was being mishandled, why they decided to pay, and how that is not a good thing, because obviously, like, you paid $22 million to get your data back just for somebody else to come up.
Posting
Ransom Hub.
Yeah, Ransom
Hub. There it is. Ransom Hub came out and was asking for the payback. They're like, hey, we're a subcontract to Black Cat, they didn't pay us, so we need some of that money. Like that $22 million, don't worry about that. We didn't get any of that. We want some other money. So it just goes to show, like, paying the ransom does not help you whatsoever. If anything, now it's you feeding stray cats. Like, who's to say somebody else has come after Ransom Hub and say, hey, we also want some money, and so on and so forth. So I think it'll be very telling. So I wanted this to get ahead of the testimony, because I'm iffy on that, because they sometimes Congress doesn't put their most cynical people in these interrogations, so to speak, and they don't ask the right questions. So hopefully they have their stuff together, so they can ask intelligent, well-meaning questions to get really good information out of Change Health. But just the one with Mark Zuckerberg was not good. It was not great. The one with TikTok was not great. So I need this one to be much better. So hopefully they have their team together. They assemble a good team with some really good questions.
But do you think they'll do more homework? Like, they'll bring in more experts to craft questions for them to ask, though, because they care more about this, right? So, like, even though you have a farther reach with the social media stuff, they don't care so much about that because they've been letting them companies do that for years. They've known about it, right? They're clutching their pearls and pretending to be shocked with them, you know what I mean? But they knew that was going on, right? Not like it was new. It's like, oh, Mr. Zuckerberg, why were you doing this that we knew about for 10 years now? You know what I mean?
Right,
you know,
right.
With this one, they care a little bit more because of the stuff we've mentioned before, right? How this information could be used for blackmail or to get a political edge and things of that nature. They care more about this. So I don't know. I would hope the questions would come out. Like, what else are you not protecting? Like, are your I don't know how they're doing it, whether it be files or folders or stores. Are they properly protected with correct folder permissions? You know, can this group of people not access them, and it's only this group of people? Whatever it may be, like little stuff like that that, you know, we've been doing for how long now in the DOD? You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
apparently it's not as common as we thought it was.
All right. You're right, Shannon, because if you read through the article also, they do care more because now there's talks and legislation of like, hey, we need to like put rules and laws and legislation behind it to come up with some frameworks. It's kind of crazy to me because PHI exists, which directly goes to the healthcare industry, which is for public health information. So I don't know if they're trying to think about like a new regulation for safeguarding data or you know, how things are architected or like the network or what they're thinking about. But that's a good step one. But unfortunately with these frameworks, and we see it in the DOD a lot, I think that's a good blueprint. It's a good way to kind of, it's like the lowest level. Hey, you need to at least adhere to these things, you know, NIST, all these things. But that's just step one. What are we doing beyond that? Especially with such sensitive like infrastructure and data that could save lives essentially if it's ransomware. You know, this is step one. I like legislation and government trying to do that, but then we need to like really hold these, you know, private industries accountable for this kind of information, really.
And that's where we fail. I think that's where we fail because in DOD, we're providing a service. We're not making money to do what we do in the DOD. Like this is a service that's provided to America. These guys are doing it for profit, you know, and if nobody's enforcing it for them, they're like, well, where can we squeeze a little bit more money out? Like maybe fire half of that cyber team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
Half of that IT squad. You know what I mean? So that's where the difference is, I think. Go ahead, Brian. Yeah,
No, you're good. No, that's all really good information that goes into the conversation. So you actually sparked a memory of mine. So when I was out in the private sector, right, as a consultant, I didn't work with a large enterprise like a United Health, right? So there's more small to mid-sized businesses. They all have very constrained budgets.
Yeah.
And part of the consulting is like, okay, let's pull in all your policies, if that's what they paid for, right? Like, hey, we want you to go over all our policies, help us to build a steering committee, and then go through our risk register. And here's all the things we are currently know we need to do and are not doing because of either we don't have the budget for it, we need to prioritize, or we don't know how to go about it. So we need somebody of your expertise to come in and help us out to sort it out. And then as you're going through their risk registry and just going over the policies, you start to find gaps just because you're more knowledgeable about the framework than they are because they're focused on day-to-day business. And then you know this stuff, hopefully like the back of your hand. As you're going through it, you're just stacking stuff. You're like, okay, this is a subtask of this. This is something that you forgot about. This should be higher, et cetera. You're going through their steering committee. You're talking to people who are very good at what they do, but they're not technical necessarily. Like you have the technical people also. And from my experience, it's always good to separate those two. You have the technical committee, you talk to those people, and you have the non-technical committee, you talk to those people, and then you bring in the heads and you start to do the matrix. Like, okay, this is dependent on you and this budget, this is dependent on you and this technical solution. But what you find is a lot of the things that you believe should have been knocked out are not because they're waiting. They're lower on the stack. So like maybe MFA could not be put in because there's no budget for it this time around, or they need to contract out to someone who has more technical expertise because they tried it and it failed, or they have a sprint going on right now, so they're unable to facilitate any changes to the network because it's a period of non-disruption of some sort because they need to get X done by the dev team, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of things you have to juggle around as their consultant or the subject matter expert. However, those are people who deal with limited budgets and small teams. So you might have like one technical guy or gal and then some other people, some other resource underneath them. This is a multi-billion dollar corporation. So I can only give them so much leeway. Like they have the budget to hire some people to come in and do a sprint to get these things up to par, but they chose not to for whatever reason. Like, and hopefully we'll find that out when they go to testify. But again, I dealt with small to mid-sized businesses. You can forgive this type of stuff. And it's all well-documented. Like, cause that's the CYA. Like, hey, we want to implement this, but these things are above and this is our limiting factors. So they're already covering their butts in case there is, God forbid, a breach, which I have seen in the middle of consulting. You have to switch your hat to now I'm an assessor. And it's a nightmare, right? And then all the stuff you were doing as a consultant has to be put on hold because now you have an ISO or an NIST-CSF or a HITRUST or whatever. Again, all somewhat excusable when you're a small company building the plane while it's in the air. When you're a multi-billion dollar public traded company, you might need to hire some specialists. You might have to give up a little bit of that budget in order to not have this happen, because you lost $22 million. You're going to lose some more. You're going to get regulated to hell. Yeah. And like, what comes out of it? I think the only thing that's on their side of the house is the Kaiser Permanente stuff dropping on April 12th. And them being breached and the data being out there be their only saving grace to say, like, hey, we're not the only ones. It's yeah. not just us. However, yeah, heads are going to roll. So we'll see what that future looks like. And hopefully we'll only have another episode or two where we kind of break down what came out of the congressional testimony, all that good stuff. So, but yeah, just trying to give a little context. But again, they're so big. Like, you should be able to tackle these things faster. But again, I don't know how that looks at scale. I've never worked with a company that large. So maybe they have more stuff that I'm just not aware of, because I've never been a consultant of a billion-dollar company.
And it sucks you have to tie it to me, right? But that's what they're there for, right? Like, even the smaller places you're talking about, like, they're trying to make money. They're trying to get up there to be those billion and trillion dollar companies, I guess, right? But it sucks that you have to do that. But even so, like, the way you can possibly do this, that I can see doing this, is just tying even. So you mentioned the period of non-disruption, right? The ponds. You could tell them, hey, we have to do this pond for this, but we did it because you didn't bake this on an inning, and this is costing you this much for this 3 days or whatever it is that it was down. This is where it's costing you because you didn't plan initially in the beginning. You know what I mean? Right. Like, we talk about it in the past, even like people just trying to bolt on security at the end. You know what I mean? And what goes into it. And even then, they're not taking it serious. So it just sucks that it's like that. And again, I guess that's because I've spent so much time in the DOD, and I'm just like, this is second nature. Like, this is what we're supposed to be doing because we've been doing it for so long. But you're right. Like, you have the experience to see that that's just not how people are treating it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just a force that they can't. Like, you come in and
it's not that they can't, though, but that's the thing, though. I don't think it's that they can't. They've set their own priorities. They could if they wanted to. Something else could fall off and make that a higher priority.
If there's continuity there, though. Like, I've worked with companies where it's like, hey, our team left. So we have a new C-suite, we have a new this, we have a new that, and you do have people, resources that are, you know, much further down, super frustrated. Like, every, I keep getting a new CIO and they keep changing stuff. You're just like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just trying to help out. So let's tackle this, you know. So it's a lot. There's politics, there's the human element, and then there's this bottom line. So again, I don't know how that scales. Like, I would believe that if you are making that type of money, you're able to hire resources that can quickly implement these things. But I mean, like, when you're making that type of money, who's to say you're actually making that type of money? Like, how much are you spending versus how much you bring it in? Like, are they profitable for real? Or is it just they're able to shuffle money, rob Peter to pay Paul so quickly, and it keeps their stock up? Like, I don't know. I never want to be in that position.
Yeah, it's rough.
Like, no thank you. But, you know, we'll see what the future holds. Again, I think we won't, unless something that's super breaking about this, we won't talk about it until after all the testimony and more is disclosed, and then we'll go back into it. And then I don't really want to mess with Kaiser Permanente until that's kind of closer to wrapped, and that's just starting. So who knows how big that breach is and what they've lost. So but we'll see. Like, depending upon what the scale is, we might just talk about it briefly or whatever, because it does generate numbers. People love Mr. Cooper, United Health. Like, those are our highest, like, just full transparency. Those get clicked the most. So, but we just try to make sure it's good content. I'm not just doing it just to talk about it. I'm going to, you know, discuss. So, but please continue to tune in throughout the week. Again, Monday and Tuesday episode, our Monday and Tuesday are topics, Wednesday discussion, Thursdays Ask a CISSP, which will be with Chelsea Pierre. We've had her on the show before. She has some new initiatives. It's a pretty cool interview. And then Fridays, everything else, movies, plus games, all that good stuff. Hit up all the websites that go by our name. Give me a personally. I'm at RyRy Security Guy. That's RyRy Security Guy. You can find me on LinkedIn, Clubhouse, Twitter, IG, and Threads. A bunch of places. And you, Daniel, where can they find you?
Just on LinkedIn, just on the articles, just can click my name, reach out to me if you want. Always building the network, so I'm happy to talk to anybody about anything.
Absolutely. So please continue to tune in to all the things. Stay safe, stay secure.